This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. After the American media, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, all of them just spent basically the whole day talking about, oh, Marco Rubio is going to announce today. Oh, Ted Cruz is going to announce today. Oh, Jeb Bush is, maybe he's going to. Right now, Bernie Sanders is announcing, and none of the networks are covering it, in my opinion, because the owners of those networks don't like his message, but here he is right this minute announcing his run for president.
So that's the major issue. The major issue is how do we create an economy that works for all of our people rather than a small number of billionaires. And the second issue, directly related, is the fact that as a result of the disastrous Supreme Court decision on Citizens United, we now have a political situation where billionaires are literally able to buy elections and candidates. Let's not kid ourselves. That is the reality right now. So you got the Koch brothers and other billionaire families now prepared to spend hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in elections to buy the candidates of their choice, often extreme right-wing candidates. I'm the former chairman of the Senate Veterans Committee, and I can tell you I don't believe that the men and women who defended American democracy fought to create a situation where billionaires own the political process. That's a huge issue that we've got to deal with. Right now, in terms of issues, we have a Republican Party with virtually few exceptions that does not even recognize the reality of climate change, let alone that it is caused by human activity, let alone that the scientific community tells us this is the major global environmental crisis that we face.
If you're just tuning in, this is Senator Sanders live announcing his candidacy for president.
In transforming our energy system away from fossil fuel to energy efficiency and sustainable energy. Real unemployment in America is not 5.5%. If you include those people who have given up looking for work, people who are working part-time when they want to work full-time, real unemployment is 11%. We need to create millions of jobs, and the best way to do it is to rebuild our crumbling infrastructure. And I've introduced legislation to do just that, create and maintain 13 million jobs. In my state of Vermont and throughout this country, young people, bright, young, able-keep kids, cannot afford to go to college, and others are leaving school deeply in debt. In Germany, countries around the world, they understand that you tap the intellectual capabilities of your young people, you make college tuition in public universities and public colleges free. That's my view as well. So there are enormous issues facing this country. Now, let me conclude by saying this, and I say this to the media. I've never run a negative ad in my life. I've been in many campaigns, and you ask the people of Vermont, they will tell you Bernie Sanders has never run a negative ad. I hate and detest these 30-second ugly negative ads. I believe that in a democracy, what elections are about are serious debates over serious issues, not political gossip, not making campaigns into soap operas. This is not the Red Sox versus the Yankees. This is the debate over major issues facing the American people. Honest people, my conservative friends, differ with me, and that's fine. That's called democracy. That's a good thing. But I would hope, and I ask the media's help on this, allow us to discuss the important issues facing the American people, and let's not get hung up on political gossip or all the other soap opera aspects of modern campaigns. Thank you. Let me just take a few.
He's just announced that he is running for president of the United States. Fox News carried it, but MSNBC ignored it. CNN ignored it. And I'm assuming all the big networks, they haven't so much covered these kind of things as they happen either. But here's the thing. Bernie is opposed to TPP. That's probably going to get him locked out of CNN and MSNBC. Bernie is opposed to the whole free trade concept. And that's a problem for them. He's in favor of net neutrality. You know, these are topics that you pretty much can't discuss. Or if you do, you can only do it in a very surface way on these big networks, because these big networks are owned by big corporations that don't want net neutrality and do want TPP. Just two of many issues I mean, these networks are also owned by and run by millionaires and billionaires who don't want to see their taxes go up. So there's going to be a real effort here to marginalize Senator Sanders, and I think it started just now. In fact, it started this morning. I mean, in the run-up to Marco Rubio's announcement, it was like from 6 o'clock in the morning until he took the stage at 3 or 4 that afternoon, whatever time it was. That's all anybody talked about. Same with Ted Cruz. But Bernie Sanders, no, they're ignoring it. Why would they do that? Because corporate America doesn't like his message. That's going to be his biggest challenge. But I'm telling you, if you, those of you who are old enough to remember 1992, do not underestimate Bernie Sanders, and do not think that he is making this run to have an impact on Hillary Clinton. He is making this run because he's seriously running for president of the United States. As was Ross Perot in 1992. Ross Perot had a bunch of stuff going against him. He had a vice presidential candidate who was barely coherent. You know, Admiral Stockdale. And, I mean, a good guy, nice guy, you know, probably very, very well qualified, but just not media savvy. He wasn't, you know, barely coherent. He was barely media, you know. Who am I? What am I doing here? Was how he introduced himself in the vice presidential debate, as I recall. But Ross Perot, on just one issue, trade, got 20% of the vote. 20% of the vote on one issue. And Ross Perot was a troglodyte on everything else. He was anti-union. He was anti, you know, he was opposed to equal pay for equal work laws for women. He was opposed. I can't remember the whole long list, but Ross Perot was a conservative who was opposed to trade policies. So the question then becomes, where is America right now? Is America with Bernie Sanders, or is America with all the various other people who have announced for president? And I just, you know, I want to go through this one more time. This is solid polling, 1,500 likely 2016 voters, Republicans, Independents, and Democrats, a poll conducted by GBA Strategies for the Progressive Change Institute. You can find this online very easily. And they just said, okay, you know, here's a bunch of issues. What do you support? Do you think that the government should be able to negotiate drug prices for Medicare and Medicaid? 79% of Americans say yes. Republicans say no. To the best of my knowledge, Hillary Clinton has not weighed in. I'm not even going to get into Hillary on this. The 79% of Americans say yes. Bernie Sanders is absolutely yes. Republicans say no. Give students the same low interest rates as big banks. In other words, let students borrow money at less than 1%. 78% of Americans say yes. Democrats, Republicans, independent, universal pre-K, 77. These are Senator Sanders issues. Universal pre-K, 77%. I mean, these are not explicitly his issues, but these are the kind of issues that he's fair trade that protects workers and keeps our jobs here rather than this so-called free trade giveaway. 75% of Americans. See, Ross Perot could still run. 74% end tax loopholes for corporations that ship jobs overseas. 73% end gerrymandering. 72% let homeowners pay down their mortgage with their 401k. 71% disclose corporate spending on politics and lobbying. 71% require the NSA to get warrants. None of these things are on the agenda of the Republican Congress. Not one of them. And yet more than 70% of the American public want these things to happen. And the only candidate that I know of who is going, and I've just started this list. There's another 30 things on this list that I will be sharing with you as we continue through the hour. I'm curious your thoughts on Senator Sanders' run. I'm telling you from where I'm sitting, and I'm not speaking for Senator Sanders. I'm just speaking for myself. I think this is serious, and I think there's a chance.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And the thing that is going to make Bernie successful or not successful, frankly, is going to be how the media treats him. And we will see. So far, it doesn't look good. And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And, oh, by the way, the campaign website for Senator Sanders is berniesanders.com. for his run for president. So just FYI. Carol in Murrells Inlet, South Carolina. Hey, Carol. Thanks for watching Free Speech TV. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Hey, Tom. First of all, I want to thank you for running that C-SPAN live, the announcement, Bernie's announcement that he's running. I think it must have been on C-SPAN 2, which I don't get on my dish. I'm very excited. Bernie has come to South Carolina a couple of times already, so he's not discounting this state at all, even though it's got a really bad track record politically. I lived in Atlanta, and President Obama didn't come to Georgia at all during his campaign, and I did volunteer both times for President Obama. Needless to say, I'm disappointed in many things that have come to fruition. Bernie, I just love all of his messages on point with the way I feel. I haven't disagreed with anything that he's ever said, and he's extremely articulate. He's a very humble man. I think he's the best thing out of Vermont since Ben and Jerry's ice cream, and actually better than that.
Yeah.
I believe that he's serious.
He's non-fat.
I like that he's climate change is one of his core issues, and I'll tell you, if we don't have a planet, then none of the other issues out there are gonna matter at all. Offshore oil drilling being what we're fighting here in South Carolina now. So I'm hoping that he'll be a viable candidate and bring climate change to the fore when the debates come. I look forward to open debates. I look forward to a real convention in the Democratic Party. I'm a lifelong Democrat. I did not want to see Hillary run unopposed. So, yay, Bernie. We're with you here in South Carolina. We are everywhere. And thanks, Tom, for putting him on the air so much. Thanks.
You're welcome. Carol, thank you for the call and for sharing your thoughts with us. I do appreciate it. Philip in, where are you, Philip? Bristol, Vermont. Hey, Philip, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. This
hey.
Is a great day for America.
I agree.
And you know, Tom, I'm with you. This is our very last time. Tom, I'm 64 years old. I grew up in the Vietnam. I've got tears coming to my eyes right now because of this whole thing. I've been waiting for a man to call the president of the United States. And I'm telling you, when they call us thugs in the streets in Vietnam and said that we're nothing but bums, and I'm a hippie man, and I'm proud to be a hippie. I'm proud of loving and sharing the wealth of this world. But I'm sad to see us being deteriorated and put down by a bunch of political politicians. And today is a perfect example, America, when only one station, and it's the station that I disrespect so much, Fox, carries Bernie Sanders live preference conference and when the rest of them. And I wonder if what is his name there over there on MSNBC is still feeling the trickle up his leg as he did with Barack Obama. Listen, I love Barack. I thought he was going to be a change, but he got banged.
Yeah, well, he got sandbagged by the Republican Party, too. I mean, let's not forget the caucus room conspiracy. But, yes, Bernie Sanders is the genuine article. Philip, thank you for the call. And I'll actually have some more thoughts on that to share with you right after the break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Let me just share, in addition to my outrage with the way the media is treating Senator Sanders announcing that he's running for president, let me just share some numbers with you here. This is from Public Policy Polling. Public Policy Polling has been, keeping track of who's where in terms of the horse race. And Bernie warned us about, hey, let's not make this into a horse race. But there is, it is a competitive event. This was back in 2007, December 4th, 2007. So this is even, even later in the cycle than right now. This would be the equivalent of December of this year, right? 5 months from now, 6 months from now, 7 months from now, however, whatever it is, 8 months from now. Barack Obama was polling at 24%. 24%. On January 4th, 2007. Say that again? No, this is that's January. This is December. Okay, so at the beginning of the year of 2007, Obama was polling 15%. By the end of the year, he was up to 24%. But if you look at April of 2015, right now, 14% is what Bernie Sanders is polling. Whereas Barack Obama was polling at 17% in June of 2007, which is roughly now. So, setting aside all these numbers, really, these are just the two that we should focus on. And in fact, I'm going to throw all this other paper away. That in June of 2007, and in other words, as we went into the summer of the year before the election year, Senator Barack Obama was polling 17%. And John Edwards was 31%. And Obama was tied with Hillary Clinton at 17%. Senator Sanders right now has 14%. Now, Hillary Clinton has 62%. That's a substantial lead. But Obama right now is pretty much where, Sanders right now is pretty much where Obama was at roughly this time 8 years ago. In fact, almost exactly this time, within 5 weeks of this time. So, like I said, don't count this out. Don't count this guy out. Bernie's campaign website, FYI, is berniesanders.com. For what it's worth. So, Ted in Chicago. Hey, Ted, what's on your mind?
Hey, Professor Hartman.
Sir.
That announcement is the greatest thing I could ever hear.
Pardon?
And I want to find out how I can be his guy in Chicago.
How can you be Bernie's guy in Chicago? Go to berniesanders.com and sign up. As far as I know, I mean, I'm not part of the campaign. I don't know all the details, but I think that's his presidential campaign website, and therefore that's where I would start. Ted, good luck. Thanks a lot for the call. Ed in Des Moines, Iowa. Hey, Ed, what's up?
Good afternoon, Tom. As it's always afternoon when we address you on your show, but I just wanted to say that I'm very happy to hear that Bernie has announced that he's going to run. I actually thought a couple of months ago when that bumper sticker disappeared from your bookcase that you had some inside information and that he had decided, it wouldn't be in his best interest to run. So I'm glad that I was proven wrong on that, and I would like to have you dust off that bumper sticker and put it back up. Elizabeth Warren, I know, said that she will not run for president. However, I have not heard where she said she would not run for vice president, so maybe the sticker is still valid.
Wouldn't that be a hell of a ticket, Sanders Warren?
It would be wonderful.
Holy cow.
If she doesn't accept the vice president, if he offers and she doesn't accept, at least she can get a new sticker that says simply Sanders for president.
Right.
And that would certainly be valid.
Yeah. But, there you go.
Yeah, I'm just thrilled. My only little bit of unhappiness with it is I had hoped he would announce on your program, as you are his strongest advocate. I thought it would have been a nice touch. But in any event, I'm thrilled with the news, and that's all I had to say for today.
Yeah, well, he needed to be in front of TV cameras. You know, this is a radio show, and it doesn't have the throw of the big networks. I don't feel at all slighted that Bernie didn't announce on this program. We've been working it out all this time. He and my listeners, basically, and viewers have been working this thing out for the last year. You know, y'all are the reason why Bernie's running, not me. And
well, I understand all that, but I think if we worry about the national media, then he's already lost because he's not going to be the go-to person, okay? It has to be done on a social media grassroots level, and if we sit there and put out numbers like you were saying before about percentage-wise, that's playing into their hand. And I just think that...
Well, no, I think the fact that Bernie Sanders right now is pretty much exactly where Barack Obama was at, 8 years ago right now, that says that it's entirely possible. This is, I'm just completely defying the inside the Beltway conventional wisdom. It's entirely possible that he could actually become president of the United States. And that this is not about trying to move Hillary to the left. Ed, thanks for the call.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-536-2370.
And, of course, Bernie will be here tomorrow in the first hour for the whole hour. So, you know, we'll get it right from the horse's mouth then. But back with your calls and more of my thoughts on this right after this. 28 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. MSNBC did interview Bernie right after he made his announcement, but that's a nice way to make sure that whatever somebody says in an announcement doesn't necessarily make it onto the air if he's talking about issues you don't like. And it also, I mean, you know, Bernie said to the media, he said, please don't turn this into the horse race thing. Please don't turn this into personalities and gossip. I didn't hear the questions that I think it's Andrea Mitchell's show right now. And Andrea's, you know, she's a great journalist and a good person. I believe she's good friends with the Clintons. Her husband is Alan Greenspan. There's sort of a in the in crowd here in D.C., you know, very much part of that. It would be very interesting. I'm going to be looking forward to going back probably when I get off the air, and or maybe one of you listened and you could tell me what the questions were that were asked of Bernie on MSNBC or on CNN or anywhere else. Because if the questions were, do you really think that Americans want Medicare buy-in for all, according to this survey, 71% of Americans want that, right? Public option. I mean, are they asking those kind of questions? Are they saying, do Americans really want to have good jobs? Do Americans really want to stop this free trade insanity and go with? And by the way, we're gonna be featuring some mind-boggling work by Alan Grayson in our third hour, and he's gonna drop by. And in our second hour, we're going to talk a little bit about the, you know, Vietnam movement, the anti-Vietnam War movement, and what we can learn from that today as Baltimore, you know, continues to churn, for lack of a better word. Medicare buy-in for all, disclosed corporate spending. Anyhow, let me get your calls in here. Chris in Vernon, New Jersey. Hey, Chris, what's up?
Oh, it's great talking to you again. It's been a long time.
Thank you, Chris.
Actually, 32, I started paying attention to politics about 10 years ago. I agreed with a lot of what you taught me by listening to you. And believe it or not, the last two elections, it actually pushed me in the direction of Ron Paul, which I know you don't agree with much of what he says. But at the same time, he does point out a lot of the underlying problems, which you talk about.
Yeah, I largely agree with Ron Paul on domestic policy and international policy. He's a non-interventionist internationally and domestically. He's fairly reasonable, with the exception of being absolutely opposed to abortion. But economically, he's just a Republican. So, but back to you, Chris.
But it actually, you know, in this election, what paying attention to Ron Paul did for me was show me how much power and influence the establishment has.
Right.
They used a two-party system against us to basically divide and conquer. And Bernie Sanders, from what I understand, is running as a Democrat now. He's an independent in the Senate. Ron Paul got asked a lot when he was running, why are you running as a Republican when you ran as Libertarian? And his answer, which I believe Bernie's probably going to be saying the same thing, is third party has no chance. They get no press, they get no coverage. And you're seeing with Bernie now, even as a Democrat, that the media is really going to, like you said, what kind of questions are they going to ask him? How are they going to try and portray him? And I think Democrats are going to see much of how Ron Paul supporters saw during his election, how much the media can take away from anybody that will actually fight the establishment.
Yeah, this is the big question, Chris. Are we looking at the beginning of a period of character assassination and derision by the media? Or are we looking at the beginning of a conversation, a national conversation, and I know, and I believe that this is what Senator Sanders wants to have happen, about actual real issues? What are we going to do about our kids being $1 trillion in debt? What are we going to do about, you know, our, you know, millions, tens of millions of jobs being shipped overseas? What are we going to do about, you know, these fundamental issues? And I am sadly betting that the media is not going to go with the issues, that they're going to go with personality, and that's going to make more of an uphill climb for Senator Sanders. On the other hand, we didn't have social media the way we do now 8 years ago.
Yes, I agree.
When Barack Obama was polling the same way that Bernie is right now.
That's my big hope for this election is that social media will have a lot of influence, and it will not only will it have influence, but it will show the path that we've been led down for the past God knows how long by these handful of people. You talk about Andrea Mitchell. When you look at most of these people in the media, they're part of Council on Foreign Relations.
Right.
Almost all of these people are part of it. Brian Williams was part of it, right on Council on Foreign Relations website.
Yeah, it's just
about
it's
how much influence
it's the in crowd
over him. Hillary
right.
Clinton says it.
Yeah, it's the in crowd.
It.
No, I'm with you, Chris. I want to move along. I got a lot of callers here who want to get in here, but I understand what you're saying, and I think a profoundly insightful analysis. Thank you for the call, John in Minneapolis. Hey, John, what's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I think this is a wonderful development that Bernie is running. We need to support him, and I'm going to be supporting him here in Minneapolis and hooking myself up to whatever organization develops here. But I also wanted to say even the left media, the so-called left media, like, for instance, Bill Press said this morning, you know, he makes the assumption, apparently, that Bernie is left of the mainstream. What is the mainstream? You pointed out that the mainstream is, and you gave a bunch of statistics, and that is what the media is not, you know, allowing us to use.
Yeah, this is insane. The Washington Post.
I hand out a Samizdat at work. I give it to people. Like, for instance, John DeAngelo statement, that paragraph-long statement that just so wonderfully, almost poetically, succinctly, you know, brought together so many things that you talk about here on this program, and that I believe this is where we're at. You know, he brought it all together in one sentence. You probably didn't hear that on CNN, NPR, Fox News, or any of these organizations. But you know what? They're going to lose because, as Tony Benn said, you know, the most revolutionary force in our present day is democracy.
Yeah.
And, you know, democracy is going to win in the end. And I you know, think I just hope to God that Bernie wins. He reminds me a lot of Senator Wellstone.
Yeah.
He is direct and honest. And this is the way, you know, he gives.
He reminds me a lot of Franklin Roosevelt.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we need this populist kind of person to take on the establishment, because we have an establishment that is just as rotten as the Raj of the English in India. I mean, I just got finished watching The Jewel and the Crown. I mean, you can see the same kind of themes in the end of that, you know, empire.
There's an old quote, I think it came out of 1984, or maybe it was Orwell, who said basically when the truth has become completely corrupted, and that first part of the quote I don't remember, but it was quite eloquent. But basically it said that then in that kind of an era, in that kind of a time, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary activity.
Right.
And that's what Bernie's doing.
We are the most hopeful established secular government that has ever been devised. Why should we give it up to a bunch of people who are, you know, as far as I'm concerned, from a Christian point of view, immoral and decadent.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say.
You said it very well, John. Thanks for the call. David in St. Paul. Hey, David, thanks for listening to AM 950. What's up?
Yeah, hey, thanks, Tom. I just have to say, you know, I was kind of apathetic towards Bernie running. I thought, yeah, it'd be great to push Hillary to the left, you know, that whole. But I have a little bounce in my step. I'm ecstatic to this because I'm sick of fighting and having to push people to the left or, you know, to fight for the issues such as the environment, workers' rights, climate change, all these issues facing us. And I think it's a wonderful development. And as I was talking to your call screener, and you mentioned John Edwards, you know, I went to John Edwards' rally the night before he crashed and burned on his campaign, and he knew the night before that he was going to pull out of the race, but yet he still wasted everyone's time and money going to see him. And, you know, I would hate to have something happen to Hillary.
Bernie's no,
you know, as far as the crashing and burning in the election, we need other candidates running. We can't just crown Hillary right now. So.
Yeah, I'm with you. And this meme that is going to be promoted by the media. The media, you know, they get their storyline from the inside the Beltway consultants and the lobbyists and whatnot, and then they just recycle it over and over and over again, is that Bernie's in this race to push Hillary Clinton to the left. I don't believe it. I don't pretend to be in Bernie's confidence. We don't get together for dinner every week or even every year. I mean, you know, but he's on this show and has been on this show every week for God only knows how long, 6, 7, 8 years at least. Well, it's been, yeah, at least that, maybe even 9. And I believe that I know this man. And he is, and when he says he's running for president of the United States, not for influencer of Hillary Clinton, my words, not his, I absolutely believe that. And this is a guy that I would work for, I would vote for, I would campaign for, I would do anything I can within the context of, you know, what's legal in campaign law and that kind of thing, which probably means that I can't do any of the above. But I just think, you know, this guy is solid. There is nobody out there. Well, I was going to say there's nobody out there like Bernie Sanders, but Sherrod Brown and Alan Grayson and Jan Schakowsky there actually are some very, very good progressives. And if Bernie became president, the largest or second largest caucus in the United States Congress is the Progressive Caucus. And the media just ignores all of this stuff. And this is what makes me so crazy. They say Bernie is a leftist. And yet every single position that Bernie takes, to the best of my knowledge, is supported by more than half of America, according to the polling. That's not left. That's the middle. That's the center. Bernie is America.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
So we'll see where this goes. We'll be back with your calls. Stick around. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Oh, Bernie's on MSNBC. Oh, no, it was just B-roll. Okay. Jim, watching Free Speech TV in Lockport, Illinois. Hey, Jim, what's on your mind?
Tom, how are you today?
I am great. This is a great day for America.
It sure is. You've been smiling so hard, I think you're going to go home with earaches. But just to let your viewers out there know, when I heard that Bernie announced, I called Bernie's Senate office, and I got a number for the viewers to call on if they want to make campaign contributions, and also if they wanted to get on board with volunteer work. If you don't mind me giving the number, that would be 855-423-4643. I mean 7643, excuse me. That's 855-423-7643. And myself, I live on a fixed income, any contributions you can make to Bernie, I'm sure will go a long way.
Did you get that number from Bernie Sanders? Did you get that number from BernieSanders.com?
I got it from his office, Senate office in Washington.
Okay, cool.
And I called and I made the contribution myself. You know, like I said, if you want to volunteer, they'll also take that. To me, like I said, anything can help. He's doing this the right way, something that we haven't seen in decades, where they're doing it grassroots, and it's the people that are going to voice. The only thing I asked for was a bumper sticker so I can put it next to yours and Free Speech TV Network. So
there you go.
To give you an idea.
Okay.
It'll fit in there real nice, Tom.
Yep, there you go. Jim, thanks a lot for the call, and thanks for the heads up and the number information. I appreciate it. Tony in Hampton, Virginia. Hey, Tony, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to let you know that Senator Sanders is doing something very, very smart. He is jumping on to the technological connection points, and he is periscoping, it's a brand new app, his talks. About an hour ago, I watched him on the steps of Capitol Hill giving a talk to all kinds of media. Probably never see it on the TV, but I saw it on Periscope live.
Hmm. There you go. So non-traditional media is carrying Bernie. The question is, will that non-traditional media be enough to get the message out? And, if you look at, Well, I was going to say the Tea Party, but the Tea Party had, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars behind it from the Koch brothers and a few other billionaires. So it, you know, sort of was an astroturf group. But
he might, Bernie might be our first collective commons candidate. He could get off of the left-right media, and I mean, I love your show, but you're preaching to the crowd.
Yeah.
He needs to get away from just siloing to the left.
I agree, and that's why Bernie has been traveling all around the country. He's been in a whole bunch of red states. He's been down in the deep south. He's been out to Iowa. He's been, you know, he's been all over the country. And speaking before large crowds in places where, in many cases, Democratic candidates get booed, you know, down in Louisiana, places like that, Mary Landry, you know, people don't want conservatives anymore. They want a real progressive. Tony, thank you for the call. Thanks for watching Houston's TV. We'll be right back. Before the hour, Tom Harbin here with you. Will in Blakeslee, Pennsylvania. Hey, Will, thanks for listening to Sirius. What's up?
Hey, Tom. Obviously, I'm thrilled that Bernie Sanders is running for president. But the thing that you mentioned about our lovely media, I think that's it. I think it would really be great if we can somehow, and I started myself, mobilize people. We need to start harassing. When I mean harass, call, write letters, but call relentlessly the corporate media, all the stations, MSNBC, CBS, when they ignore Bernie Sanders and marginalize him, which they're going to do, no ifs, ands, or buts, and newspapers too.
Oh, and don't forget NPR. I mean,
NPR.
They're huge, and Mara Liasson, their national political correspondent, their head political person, is a regular on Fox News, and, you know, very, shall we say, right of center. I mean, she was saying things about Cory Gardner that I think helped get him elected, the Republican senator from Colorado.
Yes.
You know, in the 2 days before the election that were not only not true, but in my opinion, highly inappropriate. I've been watching NPR as they have gone. Now, I think it's 93% of all their support now is not coming from government. So it's coming from sources like, you know, the big corporations and whatnot. And they've been getting more and more, you know, people make the joke, it's National Petroleum Radio. They've been getting more and more corporate. And I predict that they're going to be, their NPR's message about Bernie also is going to be, oh, he's just in this to influence Hillary, which is not the case. I'm telling you, it's not the case.
They're going to patronize him. And
yes.
Like the other one, they're going to belittle, well, not belittle him, but they're going to ignore him, essentially. And I really do think, I found this effective, at least locally, when I call at the local stations and say, why aren't you covering obvious stories? And I've gotten other people to do it. In a few cases, I've actually got them to actually, okay, throw something on there. And
yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it was just me, but the fact of a group of people doing it basically shamed them into doing their job.
That's how to do it, Will. And you would be astonished. I worked in radio back in the 70s, and I knew how it was then. But for 5 years, I did a local show in Portland, Oregon. In addition to this national show, I did 6 hours of radio a day. And it was the first time I'd been back into local radio in the United States since the 1970s. And the station management or the news department or even the advertisers, I mean, they would hear from listeners 3, 4, 5 times a week, maybe. I mean, it's really rare that people call into a station and register their concerns, their complaints, or their appreciation. You know, or call sponsors and say, hey, thank you for sponsoring this program, or call, you know, it's really rare. So your leaning on the media like that is a good thing. That's really, really smart stuff. Will, I got to move along, but thank you for the call and good on you for your activism. Jeff in Mount Hope, Wisconsin. Hey, Jeff, what's up? Jeff, you are on the air. Turn off the mute button. Okay, let's try Kathy in Etna, Wyoming. Hey, Kathy, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to share with you. My husband and I haven't been able to convince our almost 24-year-old son how important it is to vote because he's never voted, and we haven't been able to sway him. And since he heard yesterday that Senator Sanders was going to announce today that he's going to run for president, my son looked at me and said, I'm going to have to register to vote.
Wow.
And we are just thrilled, and we think Senator Sanders is a man of integrity, and we're rooting for him, and there are three voters here that are absolutely for Senator Sanders. And thank you for giving us exposure to him over the years. We're just delighted.
Mm. I am too.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Kathy. Thank you for the call, and that's great that a 24-year-old is now saying, I guess politics is real. As Bernie points out, the Koch brothers know how important it is. They're putting almost $1 billion on the line because they know how important politics is. And sadly, a lot of that message is going to be, all the parties are the same and you don't even bother voting. It doesn't matter, which is, of course, what the Republicans want everybody to believe. But the Republicans have never, ever supported anything that helps the average American. And the Democrats have. And Bernie is joining with the Democrats to run for president. This is solid stuff because Bernie is like the best of the best. Kathy, thank you for the call. John in Gilbert, Arizona. Hey, John, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I'm super, super excited. I guess you just got done talking about the Koch money for the Republican Party. You know, this would be a great opportunity where we could get $1 billion with the power of Tesla and Apple, the two most progressive companies. I mean, I could assure you that Tim Cook doesn't want to see a Republican president.
Well, I don't know. I mean, one of Bernie's big issues is bring the jobs home. And Apple is one of the major exporters of jobs in the United States. So, this is where the corporate and personal interests of these billionaires and their big companies, the Koch brothers, they have the Republicans so cowed, the entire Republican Party, that not one single newly elected Republican freshman member of the House of Representatives was willing to acknowledge climate change. And why? Because the Koch brothers inherited an oil fortune. They're fossil fuel billionaires. And they and all of their buddies, but they've got the Republican Party cowed. I don't see, and in a way that works to their best financial interest. Bernie becoming president may not be in the very best interests of Apple in terms of enhancing profits, because if they had to bring their jobs back to the United States, their costs would go up slightly, and they're sitting on $100 billion in overseas cash that they really should be paying taxes on. So as much as I admire Tim Cook, and Apple as a company, and particularly, Tesla is just spectacular. Elon Musk, great guy. Elon Musk might be a guy, but he's, I don't know. I just don't see a Koch brothers on the left because there's no self-interest that's worth $900 million.
Yeah.
Well,
Tom, I really love your show, and thank you for educating us 5 days a week.
Thank you, John. Thanks for the call, and thanks for listening to Sirius there in Gilbert, Arizona. I do appreciate it. We're just about to hit the break, right? 15 seconds. Okay. So just to recap, if you haven't heard it, we played Senator Sanders live at the beginning of the hour, announcing that he's running for president of the United States and announcing the issues that he's going to be running on, why he's running, and explicitly asking the media, don't play this as a horse race. Let's talk about the issues. Let's see. This is going to be a test for the American media. More than anything else, this is a test of the American media's ability to deal with politics as a real thing, as opposed to entertainment. Will they be up to it? Even the so-called left-wing, media? I'm skeptical, and I'm hopeful. We'll be back. We're going to talk about the lessons of Vietnam after the top of the hour.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Hey, friends, Tom Hartman here. Thanks so much for watching and listening to the program. The Tom Hartman program is brought to you in part by the following underwriters. Identity Guard. Count on us to help protect what makes you, you. WIX.com. Everyone deserves to have their own website. ITMTrading.com. America's source for rare coins and precious metals. BostonBeer.com. Boston Beer, maker of handcrafted beers. Geico.com. Providers of insurance. IdentityGuard.com, total protection. Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze. And EcoWine.com, your source for organic wine since 1980. These underwriters support our show, so please help by supporting the people who make this program possible. You can learn more at TomHartman.com.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And you have heard me throughout this week repeatedly talk about this event this weekend, Friday and Saturday here in Washington, D.C. The title is Vietnam, the Power of Protest, May 1st and 2nd. The website is lessonsofvietnam.com. Phil Donahue, Julian Bond, Danny Glover, a whole bunch of great people are going to be there. Plus, I'll be moderating a panel discussion titled The Personal Impact of Our Actions, Reflections, featuring Alan Canfora, Mark Rudd, David Harris, and Susan Schnall on Saturday from 1:30 to 2:45 at the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church here in Washington, D.C. And once again, lessonsofvietnam.com is the website. One of the people who has helped put this thing together, I'm a member of the planning committee, a longtime progressive activist, a student leader at Madison, Wisconsin in the anti-war movement. Back in the day, one of the 300-plus Americans to go to Hanoi during the war, brought back the first footage from inside North Vietnam for 60 Minutes, served in the Carter administration as the youngest female head of the federal program VISTA, the Volunteers in Service to America. Marge DeBankin is with us. And oops, hang on just a second, Marge. Let me push the button here. There we go. Marge, welcome.
Hi.
Great to have you with us. So
thanks, Tom.
Tell us about this, first of all, about the event this weekend, and then I want to get into a conversation with you about activism and how movements happen, because we're in the midst of another one right now, the Black Lives Matter movement, and that was the mm-hmm. Vietnam movement, and what can we learn from them. But first, you know, what's up this weekend?
Well, it's from my point of view, having this as a very important part of my history, this is going to be an amazing, I think, historic one-time gathering of people who actually 50 years ago didn't even necessarily meet each other, but were all part throughout the country of an amazing movement that helped to end a war. And they used different tactics and different strategies, and we had clergy against the war and businessmen against the war and women against the war and student activists and, you know, people who went into the Weather Underground. And I do not know in my lifetime any time when people from all of those segments will be in one place at one time. And probably in a way, for some of us, it's the last time, because we're very cognizant of some of the people who've passed away. They were tremendous mentors to us. But, you know, to have Daniel Ellsberg and Reverend Rodriguez and Tom Hayden and Mark Rudd and Cora Weiss and just all these people that were incredibly, incredibly important to leading that movement, all being willing to be there, along with veterans who were very, very involved in organizing against the war, both in the service and after they left the service.
Yeah, yeah, it was an extraordinary time, and what are the lessons from the anti-Vietnam War movement that we have lost, that we need to learn, or that we continue to hold? How has it transformed America?
So the optimistic side of me will go first, which is that I think if people organize for power and have a long-range view of how long change sometimes takes, I do believe we can change things. And I think we demonstrated that. I think the civil rights movement demonstrated that. And I think that's an important lesson to remember, especially in a time when things feel just so out of control and so many people are so cynical. So for me, I wake up every day thinking we can do something about this. The flip side of that is, I think one of the lessons, and this is a sad one, is that it feels right now that our government's policies and some of our leaders have not learned some of the lessons of the past. You know, they still seem to lead often with military responses in places we have no business being. They spied on us. They're spying on people now. In fact, not just on activists now, but on a huge number of the American public. And, you know, they lied to us. And, you know, the Vietnam War was based on the Gulf of Tonkin, which was a lie, and they're lying to us now. And so having served in government, I believe in government. I really do. And one of the saddest things to me is that when I was young, probably 80% or 70% of the country believed the government was there to do good. And I think that based on recent polling, is now down to less than a third of the country thinking that. So I think there's been some lessons learned that are good and some that haven't changed.
Well, in a way, that one of the lessons that was learned, I mean, back when we thought that government could be a force for good, I think that fundamental belief animated a lot of the rage, maybe is the wrong word, but something close to it, when we saw our government not doing good. But then came the Reagan era, where Reagan came into office saying government is evil, and that's been the prevailing meme. Certainly the Republican Party has owned that meme, but that's been the prevailing, but even Bill Clinton saying, you know, we're going to end welfare as we know it, and we're going to roll back the Great Society and stuff like this. And it's a meme that really only serves the Republican Party, in my opinion.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah,
I think it's been ridiculous that the Democrats years ago did not take the principles that started in the New Deal and were continued on the better parts of the Great Society and remind people, you know, people basically just assume the water's clean, the food they eat is okay, the airplane's going to work. The government does a lot of important things, and to allow the Reagan frame to exist through all these years is really a failing on the part of the Democratic Party.
Yeah. Now, you worked in the Jimmy Carter administration, and as the youngest female head of the federal VISTA. The last 2 years, help me with this. My recollection may be wrong, but what I think I remember is that the last 2 years of the Carter administration, Jimmy Carter started going down that deregulation road that Maggie Thatcher was really pushing really hard. And I'm familiar with that because Louise and I in 83 started a travel agency in Atlanta, and we were able to do that and build it the way we did, in part because Carter deregulated that industry. Over a short period of time, that was a great thing. It created the bubble, you know. We made a lot of money off it. But over the long term, it destroyed independent travel agents all over the country. It led to these airline mega mergers. Was there a debate inside the Carter White House about how to go and how far to go when it came to things like backing off the role of government?
You know, I don't want to be too dogmatic about my opinion on this because I was not really in those conversations. Mm-hmm. However, I can say that having been close to just about every Democratic administration since the Carter administration, I believe that debate is constantly represented within the domestic policy staff and the economic councils of advisors to the president. They always put elements from both sides. Same thing around Glass-Steagall. Mm. You know, you had Robert Reich arguing on one side, and you had Gene Sperling and Larry Summers on the other. And that goes on and on and on. And both of those dualities are present in almost every Democratic administration. It is really up to the president to decide which of those advisors he's going to favor.
Yeah. Yeah, and which makes the announcement today of Bernie Sanders that he's running for president not to move Hillary Clinton to the left, but to actually run for president as a progressive, I think all the more consequential. Although that's a bit of a digression and just my personal opinion. Anyhow, the event this weekend, Friday and Saturday, it's all day Friday, all day Saturday, right?
Yeah, it starts with a wonderful evening of music with Peter Yarrow and the next generation of Yarrows.
Oh, that's great. Peter Paul
and wonderful singer-songwriters. And it ends on Saturday night with an amazing cultural program with Holly Meir, this fantastic young group called Emma's Revolution.
I am so looking forward
to it. We call them the children of Pete Seeger because he loved them and adored them, and they carry on his legacy.
Marge, we're out of time. Hang on just a second, Marge.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Marge Tabankin, you see her this weekend here in Washington, D.C. The website is lessonsofvietnam.com. Marge, thanks so much for dropping by.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Welcome back. 15 minutes past the hour. And Rick in Port Angeles, Washington. Hey, Rick, thanks for watching Free Speech TV on DirecTV. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to say I'm very excited to hear Bernie's running. I'm a proud supporter of Bernie Sanders, and for the first time ever, I've actually donated to a presidential campaign.
Wow. Okay.
I He's a true progressive in the and in the nature of FDR and his four freedoms. We're going to bring the Democratic Party back to its progressive roots. It's been moving towards the right ever since, I guess, McGovern sort of lost the election. And it's time to bring the Democratic Party back to the people. And I couldn't be happier. I'm so glad Bernie's running.
Yeah, I'm with you. Thank you, Rick. Thanks for the call. That election, by the way, when George McGovern lost to Ronald Reagan, wasn't it? Didn't McGovern lose to Reagan in 80, as I recall? No, it was Nixon. Oh, McGovern. Oh, that's right. Nixon lost. Yeah, 72. Thank you. Thank you for being my alternate brain. That really the Democratic Party was, you know, was pushing Ed Muskie, and Ed Muskie could have beat Nixon. And, you know, so Nixon sent his dirty tricksters off to Maine or someplace in the Northeast. And if the reports are true, dosed Ed Muskie's coffee with some kind of psychedelic. And Ed Muskie ended up on the back of a flatbed truck crying about his wife and, you know, blew it. And so they ended up with George McGovern. George McGovern was a great guy. He was a good senator. He was a war hero. But he didn't work well in the media. It's sort of the opposite way, but the same way that Nixon didn't work well in the media in 1960. He really didn't understand the media. I don't think that Bernie Sanders is a George McGovern. I think Bernie Sanders is, you know, Bernie knows what he's doing. We'll see where this goes. Norma in Montgomery, Alabama. Hey, Norma, welcome to the program. What's up?
Hey, Dr. Tom, thank you. Did you have a typing class? Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country.
I remember.
It's time to support Bernie.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. So also, please remind people that we need to have a foundation for Bernie to work with when he is our president. We need people to stop and look at their senators. I have a senator that will be 82 next year, and he's one of the 47 who signed the letter. We're trying to find someone to replace him. He's up for re-election.
Who is that?
Other people have senators that are also up for re-election. Do you want these people that you have today fighting with Bernie? We've got to give him a fighting force to help him take care of our country. He can't do it by himself.
Right.
So now is the time for all good men to get out there and look for somebody to replace your no-good senator so we can get our country back.
Yeah, there you go. It's not just the White House. The party that controls the House of Representatives, the party that controls the Senate, is extremely consequential. Plus the White House. So, yeah, all of the excellent point, Norma. Thank you for calling and making it. We'll be back. Right here. Past the hour. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And Marcy in Elgin, Texas. Hey, Marcy, thanks for watching Free Speech TV.
Hi.
You wanted to talk about Bernie?
Yes, I do. By the way, it's Elgin.
Elgin, thank you.
With a hard G, yes.
Yep.
Yes, back in 2006, after the voters voted in November to turn out the Republicans right out of Congress and put the Democrats in power, the lame duck Republicans passed a bill regarding our postal service. It actually was a 10-year plan to decimate and eventually eliminate.
No, privatize, actually. They wanted to set it up so that FedEx could take it over.
Right, right. Well, Bernie has been, for years, the big opponent of that bill, and has been very vocal in trying to get it repealed or whatever so that the post office can continue to exist. And by the way, the post office is our constitutional right in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution.
Yeah, it's one of the few things that's actually written in there.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And Bernie's been wonderful. I went to see him when he was in Austin. I guess it was last month, March. He was in Austin, and my sweetie and I went to see him, and we were just bowled over. He was so wonderful. Yeah. And, you know, it was a standing room only. People were sitting in the aisles. They were standing, leaning against the walls. I mean, Austin turned out, and I'm not from Austin. I'm from the next county east, Bastrop County. And we had from Bastrop County, we had like 9 or 10 of our closest friends that were also there.
Wow.
So I'm thrilled that Bernie is running.
Me too.
And would vote for him in a heartbeat.
There you go. Marcy, thank you. Thank you for the call. And thanks for pointing out the post office. Bernie has been a champion on that topic for a long, long time. Jake in Silver Lake, Wisconsin. Hey, Jake, what's up?
How's it going, Tom?
Great.
Obviously, super pumped about Bernie running, too. I was calling because another caller had touched on one of the issues that's really been kind of concerning me in talking to other young people my age. And it's actually a group I used to fall in that I think fits into kind of your sucker category, although they're not really Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's the people, young people especially, that at least I talk to, that are just so fed up. I think some of them, they know about the money in politics, but they just don't trust anyone, you know. So
right.
Instead of trying to pay attention.
And that's the Republican sales pitch, too. I mean, you know, Bernie in his announcement this morning said, I have never in my political career, and he's been a politician virtually all his life, from mayor of Burlington through member of House of the Representatives, longest serving independent in the history of the United States House of Representatives, to now the United States Senate. He said, I have never, ever run a negative ad. And the reason that young people are so cynical is because so many hundreds of millions, billions of dollars are spent on negative advertising in every campaign cycle by mostly Republicans, because negative ads are a form of voter suppression. They cause people to go, screw it, they're all crooks, I'm just going to stay home. And
that's part of my thing, too, is that it feeds into, and that's why I try to tell these people, and I used to be like that. I said, you know, like 9 months ago, I started getting into politics because my siblings called me out. They're like, well, you can't complain about anything because you don't vote. And I thought about it. I'm like, you're right. You know, and the thing that, you know, a lot of people get fired up about monopolies and all the money coming from corporations into the political system, and that they don't really get that when that's a tool to suppress voters. You know, when people give up, that feeds into them. They want that.
Yeah, this is naked voter suppression. Negative advertising is voter suppression, and the Republicans are brilliant at it. Jay, and expect to see some real serious character assassination coming down the road. I mean, they're already doing it to Hillary. There's this book, Clinton Cash, coming out today. They found another bunch of lies in it, although the New York Times and the Washington Post have hooked up with the guy who's this right-wing hitman who wrote it. You know, it's just, and you know, if the minute that they start thinking that Bernie represents a serious threat, they will, you know, they're going to direct that hatred against Bernie as well. It's amazing. It's absolutely awful. Jake, thank you for the call. Russell in Hickory Hills, Illinois. Hey, Russell, thanks for listening to CPT. What's up?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I was thinking, you think Bernie Sanders will get equal time on the big three stations on Sunday? You know, like Bush will get them. I mean, they'll be kissing his ring to get Bush on. You think Bernie will get on the big three on Sundays? You know, meet the press.
No Democrat gets equal time on Sundays, Russell. If it's Sunday, it's meet the Republicans. That's how it's always been. Back when it was the Bush administration, and NBC was asked, why is it that you have majority Republican guests throughout these 8 years of the Bush administration? Their answer was, well, because the Republicans are in charge, and people want to hear from the people in charge. Then when Obama became president, and again, it was majority Republicans being the guests on the Sunday shows, they were asked, why is it majority Republicans? And they said, oh, because they're out of power. They don't hold the White House anymore, and so we need to hear from what the minority has to say. I mean, it's just the real answer is that the Republican Party and Republican politicians serve the interests of big business, period, full stop. They're all about big business and billionaires who got that way from big business. And as long as that's the case, they are going to feature their people, which is the Republicans and the occasional corporate Democrat, on their networks, and they're going to stay as far away as they can from genuine progressives like Bernie Sanders, or at least his real message. If they get Bernie on, it's going to be a conversation about Bernie versus Hillary, or it's going to be a conversation about, you know, something. They are not going to, I'm predicting, get into the serious issues. And I think this is the tragedy of our commons. This is the of our media commons. This is the, to paraphrase Garrett Hardin, and this is the tragedy of our whole, our entire political situation right now. Yesterday, the Supreme Court ruled that judges can't take political contributions because it corrupts them. And yet, in 2010, the Supreme Court ruled, oh, yeah, give all the money you want to politicians. You know what? We can't corrupt judges, but we can corrupt politicians. This is this bizarre system that has been brought to us by the Supreme Court and the media consolidation and everything else that's been brought. Thank you, Russell, for the call. Has been brought to us by Reaganism, and it's unhealthy for a democracy. It's destructive to democracy. Bernie Sanders on this program has said many times, "We are an oligarchy, or damn close to it." I may not be quoting him exactly. And that's a real concern, courtesy of John Robinson, the Supreme Court.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-536-2370.
Back with your calls, thoughts, my thoughts, the news of the day, and all that sort of stuff. Right. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, 28 minutes before the hour. And I think we're all kind of processing Bernie's announcement. The press is reporting that there are new developments in the Freddie Gray killing, that there was a previously unannounced stop of the police van. I thought I'd seen that video clip like a week ago, you know, from that unannounced stop. Maybe they just rediscovered it, or maybe I'm psychic. I don't know. Oh, so they reported three stops. Now they're reporting four stops. I see. Okay. And interestingly, over at Snopes, they are debunking the story that Freddie Gray was injured in a car accident, underwent spinal surgery prior to his arrest. That's how he got his spine broken. Because basically, it's impossible for you to break your spine yourself. It hurts too much. People won't do it. I mean, if you're going to try and kill yourself, or if somebody wanted to kill themselves, there's a lot of ways to do it that are a whole lot less painful than trying to break your own spine. But they, and according to Snopes, you can see this over at Snopes.com, right? Freddie Gray surgery. The rumor appeared almost simultaneously in three places. The Facebook page of Baltimore-based Fox affiliate WBFF, Fox, the Conservative Treehouse blog, and the Fourth Estate blog. And they pointed to documents in Maryland records about somebody named Freddie Gray who was involved in a lawsuit. It may or may not be this Freddie Gray, but it had nothing to do with spinal surgery. It had to do with lead paint in his house. And, I mean, it's astonishing to me. And now the other thing is that what the right wing is doing, and you can see this if you go to Drudge.com, as much as I don't like recommending people go look at Drudge.com, in the upper left-hand corner, you will see an attempt to turn Mayor Rawlings Blake into Benghazi. They're Benghazi-ifying her. They're saying that, you know, she made an order to stand down to the police. No, the police didn't stand down. They just didn't shoot. There's a difference. And the right wing media in this country, the way they twist the truth is, I don't know, somewhere between astonishing and tragic. And I guess to be expected, because frankly, you know, when right wingers, when Republicans and right wingers run for political office, and that's the end of the game, right? Remember, if Henry Wallace, Vice President of the United States in 1944, writing in the New York Times, said the end goal of the American fascists is to seize political power so that they can use their political power to enhance their economic power in the marketplace and keep the common man in eternal subjection. Here we are. Here we are. And because You cannot, I mean, you know, we've done entire programs on this. Please call in and name one thing in my lifetime, in the last 100 years, one thing that Republicans have done that only helps working class people or middle class people or the poor, that doesn't principally help millionaires and billionaires or big corporations. Name one piece of legislation that the Republicans have originated and pushed out that didn't principally help big corporations. And you win the prize. Right? There's nothing there. On the other hand, you go through a list of, you know, virtually everything that we consider good in our society was brought to us by the Democratic Party or by progressives, including Republican progressives back in the day when there used to be some, like Teddy Roosevelt and Taft. Everything from the 40-hour work week to Social Security to, you know, I mean, you name it. Liberals brought it to you. And therefore, the only way conservatives can win political office is to lie. They've got to lie. They're very good at it because it is a political survival strategy that they have been practicing since the days of Franklin Roosevelt. And they have really fine-tuned it because they've got a lot of money. They've bought a lot of shills, and they have a lot of influence. Anyhow, David in Mamaroneck, New York. I'm not saying that right, am I, David?
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey, David.
I'm happy. I feel twofold about Bernie Sanders.
Can you turn him up a little? I can't hear him.
Right, choosing to run for president.
Bernie.
I'm going to work for him, and I work 6 to 7 days a week. And the second is I wanted to share a quote with your listeners. It's better to vote for what you want and not get it than to vote for what you don't want and not get it.
Yeah.
And get it.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. The one concern that I have about all this is that there are a lot of women in this country who are, and frankly, a lot of men too, who, and I count myself among them, who are very excited about the prospect of a woman as president of the United States. That said, you look at the issues out there, Bernie Sanders is the guy, in my opinion. And we'll see how this plays out. David, thank you for the call. Paul in South Lyon, Michigan. Hey, Paul, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Good.
You kind of took the words out of my mouth a few minutes back. But anyway, the media is doing what they always do, doing everything possible to stop Democrats from being elected. For 2 months, they've been attacking Hillary over nothing while ignoring evidence of actual crimes and corruption by Republicans. I mean, Christie, Walker, Perry, you know, now yeah. They're using Sanders and Warren to drag, you know, to kind of drag Hillary down. And I think if Bernie gets a realistic shot at the nomination, the media treatment he gets will make the horrible treatment of Hillary look like a love fest. And by the way, Bernie and Hillary agree on 90% of issues, women's rights, infrastructure spending, Citizens United, gay rights, global warming. And I want to get your thoughts on this. Do you think Bernie and Hillary will team up in some way to promote the progressive cause?
I doubt it. I doubt it. I think that and that's just my personal opinion. Again, I don't have inside information on this stuff. I don't sit around with Bernie and talk about this. But my sense of how things are going is that Hillary has her own machine, her own people, her own advisors, a group that has been with her for a long, long time, many of them, some of them new. And Bernie has his, you know, it's like they're, you know, two different planets, you know. Not that they're very different. You're correct, Paul, that there's an enormous amount of overlap in their policy prescriptions, and either one would make a great president. But on the issues, I think that Bernie's better than Hillary Clinton, but Hillary Clinton's a hell of a lot better than any Republican, period. So, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, you know, this is just, you know, as Mike Dirks, the old Zen philosopher used to say, we'll see. And, that's my take on that. Paul, thank you for the call. Mark in Buffalo, New York. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I'm really excited about, him and Bernie run for president for, I think, like you said, you know, the issues, because it was very interesting. I found that in his speech, he really focused on the issues, whereas a lot of other candidates seem to make it about themselves.
Yep.
You notice Hillary tried in her video to not make it about herself. So I think she realizes that as well. And the other thing is, you know, just a personal antidote, and I know you
you know, talked to Bernie for a long time, and you just see how down to earth he is compared to other politicians. I had the privilege of meeting him back in 2008 in D.C., actually after President Bush's last State of the Union address, farewell, which I was saying the whole time in my head. I went to a little luncheon, or I guess dinner at that point, and met with, you know, different senators after the Progressive Media Summit. And, you know, everybody's all, you know, prim and proper and walking around with their staff. And I didn't really know a lot about Bernie back then. And then I see this guy walk in, you know, sometimes his hair's all disheveled, you know, he's working his butt off and stuff. And he comes in and like no one else is touching the cheese and crackers and stuff. You know, they're all like afraid to eat around anybody. Bernie just comes in, he's got a plate. He's like piling cheese and crackers on there. You could tell he probably hadn't eaten like all day because he was working. And he's just come from, you know, like some sort of a meeting or something. And, you know, I was looking around and I realized who he was. And I walked over and started talking to him. And all these other people have all their staff around them and you have to go through them. He was just so down to earth. He would talk about any progressive issue you wanted, and he knew it, you know, in and out, you know, like the back of his hand. And the rest was really history. I mean, I fell in love with the guy politically. And I think for people who really, really loved him as a candidate, the key isn't to just be so happy that he's running. If you really want to make a difference, find out how you can volunteer for his campaign. You know, I volunteered for President Obama in 08 and 2012, and living in New York, obviously, it wasn't a big deal once the general election came, but they had us go to Pennsylvania and Ohio, and I know that's more of a general election type strategy, but, you know, don't be afraid. If the senator, you know, Sanders needs you to go to other states or whatever, you know, they'll organize, you know, they'll have a lot of people on the ground. Just don't be afraid to take time out of your schedule, because you'll feel a lot better at the end of the day, no matter what happens, if you can say that, you know what, I did everything I could. I went to the mat for this guy because he's worth it. He's the real deal.
And the website is BernieSanders.com. Yeah, someday I'll have to tell the story of the one and only meal I've had with Bernie, Louise and I had with Bernie in Vermont when we were first talking about putting him on the radio show. You know, we just got together with him. And, in fact, I'll tell the story right now real quick. We met at this restaurant, just Louise and me and Bernie and Huck, his chief of staff. And just as we were sitting down, as the waitress was sitting us at our table, Bernie gets a phone call that 300 workers at the IBM factory down the road in Burlington were going on strike or were going to walk out. And so Bernie grabs the waitress. I mean, not physically grabs her, but turns to her and says, "Quick, bring me something with chicken. I got to get out of here." By the time the food came, he was gone. It's just, that's Bernie. We'll be back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
And he spent the rest of the, you know, the rest of the evening down there with these 300 IBM workers in solidarity with them, you know, while Louise and I were trying to finish our dinner. It was great. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And, interesting. Randy, in Bellingham, Washington, listening on KBAI. Hey, Randy, what's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. Senator Sanders needs money, and he needs it now. I think that, you know, we all go on and on this program, how much we love Bernie Sanders and how much we love the program and Tom Hartman and so on and so on. And we need to put our money where our mouth is and take advantage of this enthusiasm. And I'm taking advantage of my own personal enthusiasm by sending Bernie 10% of my monthly income today. And I would urge all the rest of the listeners to do likewise. You know, because I'm a tightwad, I want to have time to think about it. I'm just going to write it out and stick it in the mail.
Wow. Wow.
And I think, you know, and I think everybody else, you know, we should look at this as nothing less than a second American Revolution to save our country.
Yeah.
And I don't think 10% of your monthly income is too much to pay for that.
Yeah, in a way, it's kind of the fourth American Revolution. You know, the first was 1776. The second was the American Civil War, where we fundamentally flipped our society. You know, we changed the nature of our society. We became a more federalist country, and we also arguably did away with slavery. The third American Revolution was the election of 1932, which was, you know, the FDR Revolution and the New Deal. And arguably the fourth American Revolution was the election of Ronald Reagan, which flipped us back into right-wing nuttery. And this could be the fifth American Revolution. And that's ignoring the election of 1800 that Dan Sisson wrote this brilliant book about called The American Revolution of 1800. But yeah, I'm with you. This is a revolutionary moment. Bernie is a revolutionary guy. And, you know, as to, you know, promoting whether or not people should give him money, I've got to check with somebody who can advise me about campaign laws and things like that, because he's a regular on my show and I don't want to be doing anything that is going to, you know, hurt him or hurt our show. So I don't know what I can say, but you said it. You can say what you can say, and you just did, and good on you, Randy. Thanks a lot for the call. Great to hear from you. Joe in Tucson, Arizona. Hey, Joe, what's on your mind?
Hello, Tom. You know, they were talking earlier about what we learned from the Vietnam demonstrations.
Yeah.
The corporations have learned a lot. They've taken over our media.
Yep.
We've got to find a new way, and that's social media.
I think so.
I get on there every day and post something on Facebook about Bernie, Elizabeth Warren, you. I always post your show. I get your things and I repost them.
Thank you.
We've got to use social media.
Well, this is the opportunity that we have that we really didn't so much have even 8 years ago, 12 years ago. Certainly not at the level that we have right now, and not with the penetration, you know, into the American population that we have right now. And getting young people excited about politics, you know, social media is one of the, you know, I don't remember the cutoff age, but there was a survey that came out some time back. It was a few months ago. We talked about it on this program. I think it was a Pew poll that found that people under a certain age, and my recollection is it was 25, but I could be wrong, but people under a certain age get less than half their news from traditional media. They're getting more than half of their news from social media, not even from news-based websites, but instead basically Twitter and Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram and whatever, you know, all these other places. So, yeah, Joe, keep it up. Thank you for the call, and thanks for everything you're doing, Joe. And thanks for watching Free Speech TV. We'll be right back. Minutes before the hour. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And let's check in with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com, brought to you by goatsfortheoldgoat.com, who says, this Mother's Day, give a crystal heart to your mother. It's the mother-to-mother program through goatsfortheoldgoat.com. Bring your mom crystal hearts for a goat for a mom who is hungry, along with hearts made by women in South Sudan, or a certificate and photo of your goat from South Sudan. That's goatsfortheoldgoat.com. Ellen Ratner's little charity. It's, and she would call it a little charity. It's a marvelous little charity. Victoria Jones with the Talk Radio News Service on the line. And hey, Victoria, it looks to me like you're in the White House.
I am in the basement.
Okay, so what's going on?
Well, I think you already stole my lead, Tom.
What's that? Bernie Sanders running for president?
Yes.
I think the thing that I found most interesting about that was that the only network that carried his announcement live was Fox.
Isn't that fascinating?
I remember, you know, when Marco Rubio was going to announce, all of the networks were on Marco Rubio watch all day. They had Marco Rubio guests on all day. When it was Ted Cruz was going to announce, it was, you know, Ted Cruz watch, Ted Cruz guests all day. When Hillary Clinton was going to announce, it was Hillary Clinton watch, Hillary Clinton guests all day. Bernie Sanders announces, and they do a, you know, 2-minute hit with him quickly after the announcement so that they can control the questions. And I'm just shocked.
Well, I think
his polling, by the way, Victoria, right now, his polling right now is nearly identical to where Barack Obama was polling in June of 2007.
That's very interesting.
They're both the Obama was polling around 14%. Bernie's polling around 12% right now.
Very interesting.
Back to
you. Very interesting. And he's tamed his hair, which I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It won't last.
It won't last. I think that's true. Somebody will drag him through a hedge and we'll be off to the races.
Or he'll, Bernie is a force of nature. You know, there's just no other way to say it.
Baltimore police have completed their investigation into the death of Freddie Gray and turned over their findings to prosecutors one day earlier than the department's self-imposed deadline, the commissioner said this morning. Now, the authorities have said that the state's attorney's office will review the information. They're going to consider charges, and then they're going to decide how to move forward in the death of Gray, who was stopped by police back on April the 12th, and he made eye contact and ran. He suffered spinal injuries while in custody, died a week later. Now, what's interesting is a story in the Washington Post today said that a prisoner in the same van who was separated from Gray by a metal partition said that he believed that Gray was trying to injure himself by banging against the side of the van.
Right, because we've all done that, right? We've all tried to kill ourselves by breaking our spines.
Right, exactly. Now, there are two interesting new pieces of information. One is that it turns out that obviously this document was leaked to the Washington Post. Well, the second prisoner got into the police van minutes after Gray asked for medical assistance.
For himself or for Gray?
Why would he ask for medical assistance and then bang himself against the van to try to injure himself?
Right.
So that's interesting. Also today, the police commissioner said that police have discovered a new stop that the van made with Gray in it. But they didn't say what happened. The deputy commissioner, Kevin Davis, said that the stop was found through footage from a privately owned camera, which is interesting because that makes it sound as though the footage was found through a camera, but not through the police officers themselves.
In other words, the cops have been lying to us.
Well, that's not what is said.
Surprise, surprise.
That's not what is said.
Yeah, I understand.
Democrats today are going to introduce the Raise the Wage Act.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Patty Murray and Representative Bobby Scott are going to introduce a bill that would raise the federal minimum wage for nearly 38 million workers. It would raise it from $7.25 an hour to $12 an hour by the year 2020. It would also eliminate an exemption for restaurants and other companies that allows them to pay tipped workers less than the minimum wage.
That's great. You know, when I lived in Portland, the city of Portland did that. They raised the minimum wage for tipped workers up to the minimum wage for the city, which is like $8 or $9. And all the right wingers and the restaurant industry actually were predicting that the apocalypse was going to happen, and nothing happened. You know, business just went on like normal. In fact, things are just humming along. Portland is growing a whole heck of a lot faster than San Brombex, Kansas.
Interesting.
Yeah. Back to you.
Well, now there's a cavalcade of privacy-minded Senate Democrats led by Senator Patrick Leahy, Democrat of Vermont. Thursday is going to introduce the Consumer Privacy Protection Act. Now, there are at least three other Senate offerings on consumer privacy protection. This bill would require companies to notify customers following a data breach and would set minimum data security requirements. But his bill is a little different. It would not supersede stronger state data security requirements. Some of the others would, and that was a problem for several Democrats because they were worried that a weak federal standard would lessen consumer protections. Because some states like California have very strong protections.
Right.
So this act specifically delineates what type of information private firms would have to protect: social security numbers, financial account data, online login credentials, email addresses, biometric data, medical data, geolocation, and photos and videos.
Yeah, I think most people assume that companies are required by law to protect that data. The fact of the matter is, though, that they're not, right?
None of it.
Wow.
None of it.
Amazing.
So this is major.
Yeah. Does it have Republican support as well as Pat Leahy?
Well, some of it does.
So I mean, Pat Leahy's a Democrat.
See what kind of support it gets. It's getting more and more support. There are sticking points, of course.
Yeah. Well, if big business doesn't like it, the Republicans won't like it.
There are sticking points about enforcement, about who's going to enforce it, whether it's going to be enforced by federal regulators.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the problem. The number of Americans filing new claims for jobless benefits tumbled to a 15-year low last week, and consumer spending rose in March.
And I wonder how much of that is because of Obamacare, that people no longer need to stay in dead-end jobs.
Interesting.
You know, just to get health insurance. Fascinating stuff. Anyhow, Victoria Jones, thank you, Victoria.
Thank you.
The Talk Radio News Service brought to you by GoatsForTheOldGoat.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Hey, Hey friends, Tom Hartman here. Thanks so much for watching and listening to the program. The Tom Hartman program is brought to you in part by the following underwriters. Identity Guard. Count on us to help protect what makes you, you. WIX.com. Everyone deserves to have their own website. ITMTrading.com. America's source for rare coins and precious metals. BostonBeer.com. Boston Beer, maker of handcrafted beers. Geico.com. Providers of insurance. IdentityGuard.com, total protection. Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze. And EcoWine.com, your source for organic wine since 1980. These underwriters support our show, so please help by supporting the people who make this program possible. You can learn more at TomHartman.com.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. It's Bernie Thursday. It seems. I mean, Senator Sanders is not here with us or anything like that, but he has announced this afternoon, noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. Pacific time, Senator Sanders stood in front of the Capitol building and announced his candidacy, threw his hat in the ring. He is running for president of the United States. He is in a primary in the Democratic Party. And by the way, the Democratic Party doesn't require you to be a Democrat to run in a primary or even to run for public office. Yeah, no, there was I read a long piece about this yesterday. They require you to be acceptable to the Democratic Party. They can kick you out if they don't like you. But, you know, so we'll see where this goes. I mean, this is very, very interesting. And it'll be interesting. You know, tomorrow Bernie's going to drop by for the first hour, and I'm sure we'll hear more of the whole inside skinny on this thing. Mark in San Francisco. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. Yeah, as far as Bernie goes, I have a suggestion. Buy his T-shirts and wear them, because I wore one to my doctor's office, and then she started asking me about him, and I said, yeah, he's for, you know, universal health care, and she really liked that. So I think that's a suggestion I have.
That's a great one. Yeah, and, wear a Bernie T-shirt, also, get a Bernie bumper sticker. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah, then that way, at least if you see the sweatshirt or the T-shirt, that starts the conversation of who's Bernie if they don't know him, and then you start talking about the issues.
Yeah.
So that's a suggestion.
That's a great.
Also, Tom, also we got to hold the media's feet to the fire on that they address the issues that Bernie's bringing up and Bernie. We need to you know, take that into our own hands and push that issue to the media that we wanted addressed and discussed.
Yeah, Bernie keeps saying, this isn't about me. This is about these issues. These issues need to be addressed, and they're not being addressed, and they're not being addressed by either party in a real and meaningful way, and at least not all of them, many of them not. And, you know, I'm with him. Mark, excellent suggestion. Thank you for the call. Thomas in Flint, Michigan. Hey, Thomas, what's up?
Hey, Tom, I also wanted to send some support to Bernie Sanders. We love him out here, and hopefully I don't want him to just push Hillary to the left. I want him to win.
Yeah.
And I'm really tired of that meme that's going around in MSNBC and even on the right wing that, oh, he'll push her to the left.
Right.
No, if she was really left, she wouldn't need to be pushed.
Yeah. Well, there's that. And I don't want to, you know, I've pretty much made the commitment, and out loud on this program, in fact, you know, when Hillary announced and a whole bunch of people started calling in and trashing Hillary, that, you know, Bernie won't run a negative ad. I was just about to invoke Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment, you know, thou shalt not speak ill of another Republican. It worked well for Reagan. And I think that we need to learn from that. We need to do the same thing. Hillary Clinton would make a great president, in my opinion. Bernie Sanders would make a great president, in my opinion. I would be very happy if either one of them was president. But at this particular point in time, from what I know about the positions of both of those two candidates, I am far more philosophically and politically aligned with Bernie. And, you know, on the other hand, the idea of a woman as a president, that's a big deal. I think we've been testosterone poisoned in this country for 240 years. And But, you know, that said, Bernie's solid on women's issues, too. So, you know, what do you do? Anyhow, Thomas, thank you for the call. Excellent points all. Julia in Angel Fire, New Mexico. Hey, Julia, what's up?
Hi, I have a slogan for Bernie Sanders.
Okay.
When you ignore the degradation of your neighbors, you eventually bring the same upon yourself. And I see evidence of this in our need for gated communities, fenced countries,
mm-hmm.
disease outbreaks, poverty that destroys local economies, pollution of water, no clean air. And the last thing I'd like to say is the best thing we can leave our children is a just and loving society in which everyone can thrive.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Very well said, Julia. Thank you for the call. Charlie in Eugene, Oregon, watching on YouTube. Hey, Charlie, what's up?
Oh, not a whole lot, Tom. I'm just pretty happy about Bernie Sanders deciding to put his hat in the race because actually was listening to you way back in the Air America days when you had Bernie on the show, and I've been a big fan ever since. And I was one of those young kids that voted for Obama back in 08, and I didn't vote for him the last go-around because he kind of disappointed me with a few issues, but I'm really stoked. I'm considering registering as a Democrat just so I can vote in the primary for Bernie.
Wow. Is Oregon have closed primaries? I don't remember.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we actually had a thing on our ballot recently to try and open them up, but it was a pretty silly deal, and I actually voted against it also because it really was pretty goofy. But I mean, I've been telling people, friends and family, for months now that, you know, if he puts his hat in the race, I'm probably going to register Democrat for the first time ever.
Well, he just did. Charlie, good on you. Thanks a lot for the call, and keep it up. Pat in Ithaca, New York, listening to WNYY. Hey, Pat, what's up?
Hi. I agree. We need Democrats in the White House, but we need them in the Senate and the House as well so we get some work done.
Yep. And in every state house across the country.
Yeah, we need to get this all back in order. I'm so excited about Senator Sanders running. I like his progressive issues and the fact that he's going to be in the Democratic primary so he's not marginalized. My problem is at home. My husband disagrees. He says Bernie Sanders never saw a defense bill he didn't like. Do you have an idea of what his voting record is on defense spending and military spending? That's where so much of our budget is going now.
Yeah. But Bernie has on this program many, many times criticized the mass of our defense bills, you know, the of our defense spending in the United States. On the other hand, I believe that he has supported the F-35, one of the airplanes. And I believe that's because they build of, you know, there's a factory in Vermont that helps build parts for that plane, and it's like 3,000 jobs. And so that's one of those areas where, as the senator from Vermont, he needs to represent the interests of Vermont. But I got to tell you, in the decade that I have known of Bernie and you know, and when I was living in Vermont, actually, it's been more than a decade. It's been almost two decades. We first moved to Vermont in 1997, I guess it was. That's the only complaint that I've ever heard from anybody about Bernie is that with that particular weapon system, which is manufactured in Vermont, he has been supportive of it. And I'm not even sure that he's been all that supportive of it. I just don't think he's voted against it. But, you know, it's a question to ask him sometime. But in general, on defense spending, Bernie thinks that it has said on this program that he thinks that it's crazy that we spend more money on defense than every, you know, all the other major countries in the world combined. So, you know, I'd say
we need that money for the progressive programs.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. I'd give him a 95%. So anyhow, thank you for the call. Nadia, we have just a minute to the break. Nadia, a quick one in Chicago.
Yeah, Bernie, I wanted to disagree with you in comparing Bernie Sanders to Ross Perot. The media will take off on that and do a disservice to Bernie. I think Bernie's going to be a great president. I'm so thrilled that he's jumping into the race. But please don't compare him to Ross Perot.
I agree with you, Nadia, and perhaps you misunderstood what I said. I was not comparing Bernie to Ross Perot. The point that I was making was that Ross Perot, who was basically a crazy guy on most issues. He's a fundamentalist conservative. Ross Perot, on one issue, free trade, got 20% of the vote in a presidential election, and he wasn't part of one of the two major parties. Bernie's running as a Democrat, so there's no comparison there, number one. And number two, Bernie not only has the trade issue that Ross Perot got 20% of the vote on, or 19-point-something, but he's got all these other issues as well. So I think that, you know, I was just trying to put it in a historical context, but no, I don't think he's a Ross Perot or a Ralph Nader at all.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This guy is a serious candidate for President of the United States. He needs to be respected as such, treated as such, and let's hope the media gets the memo. Welcome back. And let's see here. Where to go? Jared in Burlington, Vermont, watching Free Speech TV on cable there. Hey, Jared, what's up?
Tom, we all have our Bernie stories. I'm glad you had one. My Bernie story is I had just finished an MS on small farms when Bernie was elected in 81. Mm-hmm. And I went into his office, and the seat wasn't even warm yet. And I approached him. I said, "How would you like to have the farmer's market on City Hall lawn?" And his answer was, pure Bernie, "Why not?"
Right. Right.
So that lady that called in earlier looking for a slogan for a bumper sticker.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yeah.
So, I was surprised and most pleased. And as has been said over and over again on your show, you got to support him. Got to, you know, he's just needs money to counteract all the money that's being sloshed around.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway,
it appears that his presidential campaign website, I haven't confirmed this, but I believe it to be BernieSanders.com. And just, you know, FYI for folks. Jared,
well, I'm lucky enough to be able to walk down the street.
There you go. Yeah, you're in Burlington, aren't you? There you go. So you can walk down, shake his hand and say hi and help out however you can. Jared, thank you for the call and thanks for watching Free Speech TV. Anita in San Antonio, Texas, watching Free Speech TV. What's up, Anita?
Hi, Tom. Yeah, I think we should all wear T-shirts that say, "Ask me about Bernie Sanders."
That's a great idea.
I agree that Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton probably agree on most things, but I think that Bernie Sanders is the only candidate that would have the courage to take on Wall Street, to take on the big banks.
I think it's
sure that
conceivable that Hillary Clinton could. And if you've heard my riff on Franklin Roosevelt before, if not, tell me and I'll condense it really quickly and give it to you again.
No, okay. I have heard it. Yes.
Yeah. OK.
Governor of New York during the. Yeah.
Yeah. He was not some great progressive when he was running for president. He was, you know, he was the corrupt governor of a corrupt state. And so, you know, I really think that the times bring out what's in people if they've got it rather than,
right.
You know, the great man theory of history. And I think the times are such that Hillary could rise to the occasion. I really believe that.
Yeah, I hope that's true. I would vote for Hillary Clinton. I'll vote for whoever wins the Democratic primary because I think the Supreme Court is too important.
Yes.
And I also think another Republican would just do so much disaster, you know.
Yeah. Our country has been badly harmed enough by just the legacy of the Reagan and the Bush presidencies. I mean, whew.
Right.
You know, Reagan tripling the national debt and you know, creating homelessness across the United States, closing our mental institutions, ending free public college. The list just goes on. Three times increasing taxes on working, no, 18 times increasing taxes on working people, lowering taxes on rich people and corporations. It's just the damage of Reaganomics continues to this day. And with regard to Hillary, the big point that I think we all need to keep in mind is that she is not her husband. And that's her big challenge, frankly, is the media keeps treating her like she's her husband or she's, this will be the third Clinton term. It's not. I believe that she's a very different person than Bill is. That said, Bernie's a very different person than Hillary is. We'll be back. Welcome back. 20 minutes past the hour. There's other consequential things happening, by the way, and I just wanted to give you a heads up on how we're going to organize the last half hour of our program today, assuming that everything works out. Congressman Alan Grayson sent me a video yesterday that he and some friends in Hollywood apparently produced, or some filmmakers. It's 9 minutes long, I believe, and it's about NAFTA, CAFTA, SHAFTA. You know, it's about TPP and all this kind of stuff, and it's shocking, it's breathtaking, it's brilliant, and it's great audio as well as great video. And so, at the bottom of this hour, at 2:32 Eastern time today, I'm going to play in its entirety Alan Grayson's video. And then after the break, at 10 minutes to the top of the hour, we're going to bring Alan Grayson on for the last 10 minutes of the show and talk about it. So just an FYI, Alan Grayson, another one of the great truth tellers in our society. Bob in Clifton, Tennessee. Hey, Bob, you wanted to get back to the lessons of Vietnam?
Yes, I did, and I certainly support Alan Grayson. You know, the ruling class learned lessons from Vietnam. They learned that they couldn't afford a free press on television.
That's right.
So they went.
Walter Cronkite took them down.
So today we still talk about the press as though they were free, but those on TV are enslaved by corporations. And I think that is one of the big lessons that we need to learn from the Vietnam War, and that is that we lost our free press. Mm. I'd also like to say something about Bernie, because I am very grateful for him for running. And this is a third-party opportunity within the two-party system. So this is a third-party insurrection in the Democratic Party, and this gives those who consider a third party a futile effort a chance to prove their progressive bona fides. In the primary, we must support Bernie.
I can only speak for myself, but yeah, Bob, thank you very much for the call. I think every person is going to have to make their own decision. There's no litmus test here. I'm excited Bernie's in here. Len in Cedarhurst, New York. Hey, Len, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hi, you can hear me, yeah?
Yeah, just fine.
Okay. Well, first, let's all recognize that the first time where we might vote and it's not a question of the lesser of evil.
Len, actually, it's kind of hard for me to hear you. Are you on a speakerphone?
Does that work better?
Whole lot better, yeah.
All right, sorry. First thing to recognize is that this is the first time in a long time where we're not choosing the lesser evil.
Yes.
So it's something to celebrate.
I agree.
And coincidentally, I'm planning to move in the next couple of weeks, so I can't start a campaign now. But what we need is real commitment, and the commitment can start small. And I plan to launch a Got Your Back Bernie postcard campaign where, simply by actually writing out and mailing a postcard, you're committing to making sure that 10 other people get active with you. Because the personal commitment, it's one thing to wear a shirt. It's another thing to go up, you know, to someone and tell them, I've got a shirt that you'd really be interested in.
Right.
And that it's going to take a lot of commitment, but I believe it's doable because I think there is such Hillary fatigue, it's palpable.
I'm not going to criticize Hillary Clinton. I think that Hillary fatigue is a Republican meme. I think there are a lot of Democrats who are very excited about Hillary. Len, thank you for the call. I know you're not a Republican, but this is the Republican voter suppression efforts can get very subtle. Negative advertising is one of the most effective ways to suppress the vote, and talking about, oh, yeah, they're all the same, or, oh, it's Tweedledee, Tweedledum, or, you know, two-party, two schmarties, or whatever. I mean, all these are ways to suppress the progressive vote. Republicans, you know, they never suppress the Republican vote. Because Republicans get it. They're gonna turn out. They're gonna vote for their people because they've got their suckers locked up, right? You know, they've got, here's the gun nuts and here's the abortion people and here's the fundamentalist Christians and here's the, you know, and whatever it may be. They've got their blocks. They've got their suckers who are going to vote their one single issue, and then for the next 4 years or 6 years or 8 years or whatever it turns out to be, the Republicans are basically going to rob them blind. Look at what's going on in Kansas right now with Sam Brownback. He's, you know, devastating social services in that state so that he could keep his tax cut for the Koch brothers and the other billionaires and multimillionaires who live in Kansas. And it's ruining the state. Anyhow, Donald in Portland. Hey, Donald, what's up?
Hey, I, of course, have made a little financial contribution to Bernie's campaign already, but I think it's important. I got a really nice little note from the DNC on my emails welcoming Bernie into the race. I think
really?
We should also pitch some money to the DNC, kind of get a little Bernie boost surge here to let the Democratic Party hierarchy know that there is large, broad support for Bernie across the country, and that comes in $5, $10, maybe even $50 contributions directly to the party.
Right.
I think that's the best way to let the party know that the country's behind Bernie, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
I'm looking forward to an intelligent discussion of the issues, which I think Mrs. Clinton, Mr. Sanders, and Mr. O'Malley could bring. And I think that'll make the Republicans look silly talking about abortion, flag burning, and brown people. I think it's just absolutely, they're going to look stupid with all of their clown car people. And we can actually talk about serious issues that affect the country and affect everybody that lives in it. And I think that's the strongest thing the Democrats have got going for us.
Yeah, I think you're right. Donald, thank you very much for the call. And thanks for listening to us there in Portland. It's 28 minutes past the hour. We're going to be back with a video and audio by Congressman Alan Grayson about trade, and then we will have the congressman on, you know, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. Stick around.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-536-2370.
And in the midst of all this, we'll see. Well, how the time is, we'll get a few more calls in here. I'm pretty sure we'll be right back. Minutes before the hour. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Congressman Grayson may or may not be with us. He just got called to vote, and we were going to drop him in about 15 minutes. So we'll see. If he's back, cool. If not, that's fine, too. But I want to share this with you. And tradetreachery.com, I believe, is the website. Do I have that right, Shane? Yeah, tradetreachery.com. You can see this for yourself. But it so blew my mind. It is so well done that I want to share it with you in its entirety right now. So here is Congressman Alan Grayson.
I'm Congressman Alan Grayson. I want to explain why the current debate about foreign trade is the key to a better future for you and everyone you care about. Trade is a simple concept. You sell me yours, and I'll sell you mine. At least that's the way it used to be. I can remember when our food, our clothing, our cars, our TVs, our appliances, and the homes we lived in all were made in America, proudly made in America. In the old days, the production worker who made an American refrigerator took his paycheck and paid the rent. His landlord went to a restaurant, ordered a good meal, and left a nice tip. The waiter who served the meal saved up, and he bought that refrigerator. That's how our economy worked. And that's how it thrived. Ordinary working people made enough money to afford a house and a car. They earned paid sick leave, health coverage, and a pension. And they could pay for their children's college education. And they didn't have to worry that they could lose all of that overnight. But that's not the way things are today. Today, that American production worker, that landlord, and that waiter are all out of work. We've lost 5 million American manufacturing jobs and maybe 15 million other jobs during the past 20 years. What happened 20 years ago to change that? To ruin the middle class life that so many Americans enjoy? The North American Free Trade Agreement is what happened. NAFTA happened. Since NAFTA took over our lives, day after day, month after month, and year after year, Americans have bought trillions of dollars of goods and services produced by foreigners, but those foreigners have not bought an equal amount of goods and services produced by Americans. Not even close. In fact, these days, it's often hard just to find products that say, made in America. The difference between what we buy from them and what we sell to them, the trade deficit, has exploded. And that explosion has blasted the American middle class. Here are the numbers, and the numbers don't lie. For the past 14 years, our average annual trade deficit has been over half a trillion dollars. That's a deficit of more than $1,500 each and every year for every man, woman, and child in this country. This is not free trade. This is fake trade. I invite you to look back across history, all the way back to the Stone Age. I invite you to look all across planet Earth, that beautiful blue marble, all 193 nations, all seven continents. You will find that the 14 largest trade deficits in the history of mankind, all of them, are the U.S. trade deficits for the last 14 years. Here on the left was our trade balance between 1962 and 1992, before so-called free trade agreements. And here on the right, our trade balance since then. What sane person could look at these two charts and conclude that what America needs is more free trade? Today, we're creating millions, no, tens of millions of jobs in other countries with our purchasing power, while we're losing millions of jobs here in America because people in other countries are buying their own goods and services rather than ours. They're not creating jobs in America, but they're buying our assets, our stocks, our bonds, our mortgages, our homes, our farms, our coastlands, our big businesses, and our small businesses. Our debt to foreigners right now already totals more than $35,000 for every man, woman, and child in America. Already, one-seventh of all of the assets of our great nation, the result of two centuries of backbreaking labor and sacrifice, one-seventh of the assets in our nation are now owned, already owned, by foreigners. And ultimately, if we keep going the way we're going, they all will be. Because of fake trade, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And the end game? The end game is the end of America. Listen, we are in a deep, deep hole thanks to fake trade. A British minister once popularized what he referred to as the first law of holes. When you're in a hole, stop digging. Stop digging. We have to stop digging. The price tag already has reached $11 trillion, and it's rising by more than $1 billion every single day. The only ones who have benefited from this treachery are multinational corporations, and middle-class America has paid the price. It has to end, and it has to end now. But right now, the U.S. Trade Representative is seeking fast-track authority for trade agreements. That authority could prohibit congressional subcommittee hearings, subcommittee amendments, committee hearings, committee amendments, and amendments on the floor of the House. It could limit debate to 88 seconds for each member of the House. But that's not the deepest problem. The deepest problem is that it would put America deeper into that already very deep hole. It's the fast track to hell. That's why you have to direct your congressman and your senators to vote against it. The U.S. Trade Representative also wants Congress to ratify giant new trade agreements, one with East Asia and one with Europe. This trade treachery would put our $30-an-hour workers directly in head-to-head competition against workers in Vietnam and Brunei who are lucky to make 30 cents an hour. Free trade countries like that are free of health and safety rules and environmental protection, free of Social Security, pensions, and health care, free of child labor laws, free of the right to organize, and even free of the rules against slave labor. This trade treachery also would give special privileges to foreign corporations that neither American corporations nor any living, breathing human beings enjoy. It would set up special tribunals before the World Bank and the United Nations, populated by corporate lobbyists pretending to be judges, which could then award enforceable judgments against our federal, state, and local governments merely for enforcing our health, safety, and environmental laws. It would give away the sovereignty that our founding fathers fought and died for in exchange for nothing. But there is hope. Warren Buffett, the greatest investor of our lifetime, has offered a plan for liberating us from the trade deficit. He would require importers to obtain certificates for the goods and services they sell us. The charges for those certificates could be used to increase Social Security and Medicare benefits, rebuild our roads and schools, and cut our taxes. I support that plan, and I will be offering legislation to implement it. It is the light at the end of the tunnel for our economy. But for now, it's urgent that we prevent things from getting even worse. Write this number down, 202-224-3121. Call that number, and you can reach your congressman and your senators. To send an email to them, go to www.house.gov/representatives/find and put in your zip code. Tell them no to fast track, no to new trade agreements, and yes to the Buffett plan to reduce the trade deficit. One more important thing. Sign up at tradetreachery.com so that we can keep you posted. And we'll let you know what else you can do to help. It's time to stop digging that hole any deeper. Let's fight back against this scheme that has robbed the American middle class now for decades. Let's fight it and let's defeat it right now while we still can. Let's put our workers back to work, earning a decent day's pay for a decent day's work. Let's heal our economy and heal our nation. Let's show our courage. Let's show our unity. Let's climb up out of that hole and let's raise ourselves up. And let's rebuild the American middle class. I'm Congressman Alan Grayson. If we work together, we can make America a paradise.
And as it once was, I mean, I didn't even know about this Buffett plan. I mean, I'm astonished by this, that Warren Buffett is suggesting that in order to import goods into the United States, the importing company, if I'm understanding this correctly, and it's one of the reasons I'm looking forward to talking to Congressman Grayson about this and hope that today he can finish his vote and get back. And if not, we'll try and get him on tomorrow. That buying a certificate to be allowed to import sounds to me like a fancy way of saying we're going to have an import tariff, but we're not going to call it a tariff because tariffs have a, you know, it's become a dirty word. And I think that's brilliant, right? If you can accomplish the same thing by a different route, I mean, all the countries that we trade with, they've dropped their tariffs, but they've replaced them with VAT taxes. And, you know, they reverse them on the way out and they impose them on the way in. So, you know, they're back to, you know, an average probably 30% tariff most of these countries, which is why you don't see made in America goods. The reason why 1/7 of our country is now owned by foreigners has nothing to do with our budget deficit. It has to do with our trade deficit. And to the best of my knowledge, the only candidate for president of the United States who is loudly speaking out about these issues is Senator Bernie Sanders. We'll be back with your calls right after this.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
And Alan Grayson's site, or the site that he's suggesting people check out, is TradeTreachery.com. And welcome back. Denise in Calumet, Michigan, watching on Free Speech TV. Hey, Denise, what's up?
I am just ecstatic that Bernie Sanders has decided to run for president. I'm going to do everything I can to get stickers on our cars and people's yards to have the name tags. We're going to get a hold of the Democratic unit here and see what we can get going and get them started early. And I think that the more money people give him, the better off he'll be.
Yeah.
Every dime, every nickel, just, you know, from the ground roots up the better off he'll be. I really believe in him.
Yeah, I'm with you. Denise, thank you for the call, and thanks for the affirmation. Patty in Hartstein Island, Washington. Am I saying it right? Listening to KBCS.
Harstein.
Good
afternoon, Tom. Yes, Harstein Island. It's only an island from the water. I live in a 10 by 20 foot shack in the middle of a jungle, and my husband and I don't have, well, oh no, it's great. It's enabled me to do some writing.
Sounds like it.
If the Supreme Court says that money is free speech, here's how I'm going to use my money and my free speech. I'm going to take what little money we have, tomorrow is payday, out of the bank. I'm going to use cash for my groceries. I'm going to use cash for my gas. I'm going to use cash everywhere I can. And on every single bill, I'm going to write BernieSandersForPresident.com. I'm going to call him Bernie Bucks.
Actually, I think it's just BernieSanders.com. It's just BernieSanders.
Well, that's what I'll write, BernieSanders.com on every one of my dollars. And I would hope that any American listening would do the same. Just write it out there. It's your free speech. Supreme Court says so, and it's a way I can help out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's I'm not sure I can endorse that because I don't know about defacing currency. Although, you know, Ben Cohen was on this program. He's got these little rubber stamps for that you stamp your money with to say that, you know, this is not speech. This is money. He's, you know, pushing for the constitutional amendment. So,
well,
probably.
I've always written happy birthday on money to my grandchildren. It's never been called defacing, and it's my free speech right.
The feds never showed up and dragged you off.
No, never. You know, they've just really never tried. I'm not worth their effort.
Yeah.
But I'm going to put my 2 cents worth in, and that's what I'm going to do with my free speech money. So.
Okay, great. Good on you, Patty. Thanks for calling, and thanks for sharing your story with us. Earl in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Hey, Earl, thanks for watching Free Speech on DirecTV. We have a minute to the break.
Yes, I was calling real quick. I watched TV all day yesterday and did not see one comment regarding Bernie's announcement. I think it's great that Free Speech TV has the goodness to come out and openly discuss it, whereas the other networks won't. They seem to be scared of what I don't know. Bernie's
they're scared of their owners.
Integrity.
The corporate media in the United States is corporate media. It is, you know, it's the old boy network. It's the billionaire.
It's nothing but the good old boys, and we finally got a politician that's out there that doesn't have any ties to the Koch brothers or people like that, and says it like it is. And,
yeah.
And that's great. We've got someone that we can actually vote for. There's someone to look up to, as opposed to a paid for politician, and also the.
Also,
willing to always to cover it on television where the other networks aren't.
Yep, I'm with you, Earl. Thank you very much for the call, and thanks for watching Free Speech TV. We'll be right back. Ten minutes before the hour, welcome back. We are waiting and hoping that Congressman Grayson can make it back from his vote in time to drop by the program. If not, we will get him on tomorrow or Monday. Steve in Long Island, New York. Hey, Steve, what's on your mind? Steve? No, Steve. Okay, let's try Mario in Leesburg, Florida. Hey, Mario, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you, Tom.
You're on the air.
I love your show. I got one comment and one detailed question for you. I'm a Hillary supporter, but I don't think we could be hurt by Mr. Sanders, Senator Sanders running. If he gets elected, I think we're in a better place. So, I'm not against Bernie Sanders.
Right.
My whole thing is that if Bernie wins the primary, I don't think he can win the general, because I seen him on CNN today, and he was saying that he wouldn't take super PAC money, or he wouldn't take any money from any corporate giants or billionaires, which is all great, but you need that to win the general election.
Right. That'd
be my only thing.
Yeah, no, I get it. This is the rock and the hard place that Hillary Clinton finds herself between.
Right. And my second question is, and hypothetical, if Bernie, is his seat at risk? Is Senate seat at risk?
Yeah.
Kind of like what?
Mario, I gotta break out of here because Congressman Grayson just dropped in. My apologies. Whoops. Hold on just a minute here. Let me put these both on hold. And Congressman Grayson, welcome.
Thanks, Tom. We're in the midst of votes. That's why I was a couple minutes late.
I understand.
I voted no.
No problem.
I often vote no.
Okay. TradeTreachery.com is the website. We just played your entire video, both on radio and television, and, you know, getting just rave reviews. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Tell us about the Buffett plan. I was unfamiliar with this, frankly.
The Buffett plan very simply says that we anticipate the amount of imports that we're willing to accept or tolerate in the following year based upon our projected exports. And we have people bid for the right to for access to our market. The high bidder wins. They pay for the import certificates that they would need to go ahead and do those exports to us, those imports to us. The result of that is that we limit our imports to an amount that we regard as acceptable, not necessarily exactly the same as our exports, but an amount that doesn't keep us on the road to national bankruptcy. We raise some money in the process. We can use that money that people pay to get those certificates for access to our market. We use that to pay for Social Security, for Medicare, for infrastructure improvements, and for tax cuts.
Why not just go back to I'm not opposed to that. It sounds brilliant. But why not just go back to tariffs?
Well, in essence, what you're doing is you're coming up with a fair tariff system. The problem with the old tariff system was that it was deeply corrupted, and special interests get special breaks on tariffs. Also, at this point, multinational corporations are so powerful that if you set up a tariff system for its individual items, then it would be their plaything. They would always be looking for special breaks.
Right.
This is a much cleaner system. This is a system that says we will allow a certain amount of access to our marketplace. We have the largest marketplace in the world. If you want to participate in that, you have to pay for the privilege. We're not going to continue to be exploited.
Yeah. And do I have this right that, you know, basically the countries that run trade surpluses like China and Japan and Germany, they take the money that's left over from that trade surplus and they use it to buy assets in the countries like the United States that have been running trade deficits for the last couple of decades, which is why, as you point out in your video over at TradeTreachery.com, 1/7 of all the assets in the United States, which is a head-exploding number, are owned by people outside or companies outside the United States.
That's right, and it's wonderful for the 1%. The 1% loves that because it's a question of supply and demand. All of a sudden, there's a whole new demand, a foreign demand, for assets, driving up the price of those assets and making the 1% that much richer, but not creating any jobs in the United States whatsoever, and instead making us, as a nation, poorer and poorer, deeper and deeper into debt, closer to debt slavery.
That's really solid. In fact, there's a piece in today's Financial Times about how the Chinese are making so much money, the Chinese billionaires and the upper middle class in China, that they are buying high-end residential properties in the United States, and that is driving up the price of high-end it's creating basically a bubble in our real estate market, particularly in the high end, which is a scary thing, it seems.
Yes, you should see what real estate prices look like in Miami Beach right now.
And that's because foreigners
are the high end, right?
And that's because foreigners are coming in
on the 60th floor. They're at the high end in Miami Beach.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Facing the Atlantic Ocean.
Who are the allies you have on this? Where is this going? You said you were going to introduce legislation.
Yeah, the effort among the Democrats now on trade is led by Rosa DeLauro. She's a congresswoman from Connecticut. Lloyd Doggett from Texas is a notable standout. He's been very outspoken against more trade treachery, and he's been demanding real answers from the Obama administration, pushing very hard to see that the information gets disclosed. Over in the Senate, Sherrod Brown has been dogged about this for a decade or more.
Yep.
He represents Ohio, which is a state very, very hard hit by this trade treachery. And our new ally, Elizabeth Warren, who has been very outspoken about this and is asking all the right questions and offering many of the right answers.
I'm assuming Senator Sanders is on board?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. It's good stuff. It's just great stuff. And Congressman Alan Grayson, you are absolutely such a gift to this country. You are
Tom, we'll keep people informed if they sign up at TradeTreachery.com. We'll make an effort to not just keep people informed, but enlist your help.
Yeah.
We have to do what's called blowing up the phones here in the Capitol. If every member of Congress gets a few thousand calls on this in the next couple of weeks, then we can turn this around.
Right
now, the Chamber of Commerce and the multinational corporations have everybody in the Republican Party lined up, and unfortunately, a couple of the Democrats as well.
Right.
We can change things overnight just by making sure that people here understand we're watching, and we're not going to take it anymore.
There you go. And the number for the switchboard for Congress is 202-225-3121. The website, tradetreachery.com. Share it far and wide. Congressman Alan Grayson, thanks for dropping by, sir.
Thank you, Tom.
Great talking with you. And thank all of you for being with us today for these 3 hours. We will be back tomorrow. And in the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. You got to show up. Lots of opportunities to show up here. Tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
Hey friends, Tom Hartman here. Thanks so much for watching and listening to the program. The Tom Hartman program is brought to you in part by the following underwriters. Identity Guard. Count on us to help protect what makes you, you. WIX.com. Everyone deserves to have their own website. ITMTrading.com. America's source for rare coins and precious metals. BostonBeer.com. Boston Beer, maker of handcrafted beers. Geico.com. Providers of insurance. IdentityGuard.com, total protection. Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze. And EcoWine.com, your source for organic wine since 1980. These underwriters support our show, so please help by supporting the people who make this program possible. You can learn more at TomHartman.com.